When one does an analysis of boxing throughout the ages, one begins to notice a trend. The great boxers were not necessarily the ones who hit the hardest or even the most athletic. Rather, the most successful boxers were the ones who, no matter what or how many times they were hit, they always managed to get back up again, to gather their strength, to stand up, stay in the ring, and keep fighting. However, like boxing, there are times in life when it is so very difficult to stand up, let alone to speak. When one feels that they kept getting punched in the face and knocked down over and over and over again. And I know I don't speak for myself when I say that lately, that's the feeling that I have been having. The barrage of terrible news that has been coming out of our homeland has been painful and disheartening, to say the least. And perhaps what makes it even more challenging, more difficult, is that it feels like we've done a complete 180 from the collective feeling of just a short while back. I would argue that if we were to turn the clocks back just 2 weeks, the overall feeling in the Jewish community in America and Israel was probably the most positive and hopeful that we had been in well over a year. After the terribly challenging experience that the pandemic posed to our lives, from the loss of loved ones and family members, financial challenges, social isolation, disruption of religious lives, and so much more, we were finally able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Israel had in fact already reached a vaccination percentage of over 80% of those eligible for vaccinations. That's a number that we in America will probably never reach. Unfortunately, Israel started opening up more. They were starting to return back to normal. And here too in America as well, for many, if not most of us, our loved ones, our family members, our friends, our community members have already received the vaccine. And we too had already started to be able to see the greener pastures that were just over the horizon. We're having dinner with friends, family, getting together indoors without masks. Literally, a whole new old world. And then, just 2 weeks ago Thursday evening, the news out of Meron, the incomprehensible tragedy of the loss of 45 precious souls. Each one a world unto their own. And suddenly, we are plunged into communal mourning, darkness. And then, just as Klal Yisrael, just as the Jewish people were getting up from sitting Shiva for those who perished in Meron, we are about ready to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, a day signifying God's divine providence and protection of our people, our country, and our beloved city of Jerusalem. All of a sudden, unrest broke out, starting in the old city of Jerusalem, but quickly spreading outward with what has now been many days straight with almost constant rocket and terrorist attacks on our beloved brethren all over the land of Israel. And as if that's not enough, the distorted, widespread media bias against Israel is too painful to read, let alone think about. Punched in the face, over and over and over again. So maybe I should just turn it off. Maybe a benefit of living here in America is that we can choose to turn our attention away from the pain, from the hurt, from the suffering, towards other things. We could put our phones down, turn off the television, close the computer screens, and focus on other, more positive news. The CDC is continuously releasing and relaxing their guidelines. There are more things to do. Life is returning to normal. Things seem pretty good. Maybe we should focus on that. Maybe the answer is, I should just turn away. And after all, isn't that the healthy thing to do? Not to dwell on the negative? Not to become over inundated with the suffering and pain of other people? After all, how are we supposed to function when we are bombarded from all sides with horrific news stories? Shouldn't we turn our attention away? Wouldn't it be good for us? After all, study after study has shown and highlighted the negative effects that overconsumption of news has on our psyches. A 2017 survey from American Psychological Association found that a majority of Americans reported that news increases their stress levels. This study echoes earlier studies, such as the 2011 study published by the British Journal of Psychology, that found that watching negative news on television increases people's anxiety and overall sadness. And a 2007 study from the International Journal of Behavioral Medicine showed that being exposed to negative news triggers persisting negative psychological feelings. And most recently, a 2019 study out of Dutch adults concluded, and to quote, daily exposure to everyday news makes people feel bad, especially when they consider the news to be personally relevant. So perhaps we really should turn off the news, focus on something else, not let ourselves focus on the negativity. A few months ago, a rabbinic colleague of mine from South Carolina called to ask me if I could do him a favor. So I'm like, what do you need? I'm like, what can I help you with? So he told me he had most recently met with someone who was seriously interested in converting to Judaism, and they needed a sponsoring rabbi. However, this individual, let's call him Sean, was not living in the community that my friend was, that my colleague was. Rather, he's actually living in Chicago. And therefore, it would make much more sense that a rabbi in Chicago work with him and be his sponsoring rabbi. Hence the proposition towards myself. I told him I'd be happy to do it. Always happy to help another person out. Now, I have a feeling that many of us in this room have probably never heard of the term sponsoring rabbi. What's a sponsoring rabbi? So in short, it is the job of the sponsoring rabbi to work with and oversee the studying of a conversion candidate to the point that when the individual is ready to actually convert, the sponsoring rabbi will be able to vouch for the candidate and is able to verify that this individual will live a life committed to God, Judaism, and Torah. Therefore, the sponsoring rabbi has to continuously meet with the candidate and make sure the person is taking their studying seriously and is actually committed to living a Torah lifestyle. So, while all this is true and crucial for the conversion process, there's actually something much more fundamental that comes first for the sponsoring rabbi to ascertain. There's something even more basic that the convert must verbalize and demonstrate even before they make any commitment to Torah, mitzvos, or God. And this fundamental step, this prerequisite for conversion, is learned from none other than one of the heroines of Jewish history, the progenitor of the Davidic and Messianic dynasty, Ruth. In just a few days, on Shavuos, we're going to read the story of Ruth, a Moabite princess who sacrificed everything she had. She left her homeland, her people, her family and friends to go into the unknown with her former mother-in-law, Naomi, and join the Jewish nation to become a Gioras, a convert. And in those moments, in the moments when Naomi was trying to convince Ruth not to come with her, not to convert to Judaism, stay behind, your life will be better. I'm a nothing. I'm poor. I have nothing. Why are you coming with me? In those moments, Ruth turned to Naomi and uttered those now famous words, Amech Ami Velokayech Elokai. Even before she proclaimed her commitment and desire to serve God, she first said, Amech Ami, I want to be part of the Jewish people. Ruth intuited that when it comes to being a Jew, serving God can only be properly realized and accomplished with the foundation and understanding that I am part of a nation. My personal destiny is merged with that of the Jewish people. I joyously celebrate her victories and proud moments as those of my own. And God forbid, I tearfully mourn her losses and tragedies as my own as well. This is what Ruth was telling us, what it means to be a Jew. To come together as a community, to celebrate our joyous Yom Tovim, highlighting our momentous moments in our collective history, but also to mourn together on our days of sadness and tragedy throughout the Jewish calendar. And more personal, being a Jew means to dance at each other's weddings and bar mitzvahs, and also to cry at each other's funerals and shivas. And yes, being a Jew means not turning a blind eye, not turning away from the suffering and pain of our fellow Jews, even if it's hard for us, and even for those we have never met nor know. It means we pray for our fellow Jews, no matter how many thousands of miles away they are. It means we advocate and solicit our own politicians and governments to do everything they can to support our fellow Jews in Israel. Because we are all one. Amech Ami. That is what it means to be a Jew. Through the thick and the thin, always united, always there for each other, always standing strong. And when we do so, when we do stand together, when we are there for each other, even in the tough times, we can draw on the incredible strength and tenacity of the Jewish people, the perseverance that has enabled us to keep going through 2,000 years of exile and brought us back to our homeland, back to our city, back to Jerusalem. And God willing, one day soon, we will stand together, united, back in our temple, in Sion and Yerushalayim, as one. I wish everyone a meaningful Shabbos and a joyous Shavuos as well. For Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.